The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Thursday night thriller, a wild comeback, a dramatic finish. Where does it leave us? In the NFC least. We'll start there. Then, one member of our crew can tell you exactly how to solve the biggest problem in Dallas with one simple tool. Don't miss this. And then, are the Patriots getting to a dangerous place? How did Bill Belichick handle the toughest week of his entire career? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you on a Football Friday. Starting right now, delighted you are here with us in the Seaport. And with us in the Seaport, Bart Scott is here. Diana Russini is here. RC and Rob Ninkovich are ready to go. And we begin with the game of the night, Thursday Night Football. A stunning amount on the line for two teams with these records. Eagles, Giants. Eagles have won seven straight in the series. Carson Wentz needs a win. Pick it up middle of the third. Giants down 10-7. Daniel Jones on his own 12. Daniel Jones breaks free. Bart Scott, he's going to score.
Heel toe. Things are getting a little distant, and the piano was on the back right there, Greeny.
It's hard to believe that happened. Daniel Jones, who appeared to have an 88-yard touchdown right at his fingertips, instead trips over his own feet. Thankfully, the Giants do score on the drive. They go up 14-10. Fourth quarter, still 14-10. Jones, Sterling Shepard. Oh, my goodness, the Giants are going to win.
Oh, this was tremendous design right here. Understand that they were playing the limbo coverage, getting inside leverage and making a big play. Sterling Shepard, welcome back.
Carson Wentz needs to bring his team from behind. At his own 27, it's Wentz. It's John Hightower. How do you let him behind the defense?
Bubbling, stumbling, and when you're a bad team, you do bad things. Situational football is not a strength of the Giants, Greeny.
Eagles get to the 14, three plays later. It's Wentz on a first and goal from the three. This is Greg Ward. That's a touchdown, so it's 21-16. Eagles would go for the two. They wouldn't get it. So it's 21-16, and now here's the play of the game. Jones for Evan Engram. This would have iced it.
Gator arms. We call this icing. Too many curls in before the game, trying to look good for TV. Not enough stretch. Come
Got
on, levitation layout.
That would have iced the game. Desperately needed that catch. Instead, the Eagles get a chance, and then it's Wentz, and he's in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. That's Richard Rogers, 30 yards. Wentz is leading them down, and it leads to this. After a penalty, first and goal at the 18, how about the gorgeous ball he throws to Boston Scott?
We call this keep your eyes on your luggage. Only where the running back can make the play. Scott makes a big, great play. You're not accustomed to seeing this for a running back. He could be my son.
Take a look at this throw. What an absolute dime by Wentz. They wouldn't get the two again, so they're up 22-21. Wentz threw for 359 yards. Last chance for the Giants, but Daniel Jones is hit, and the ball comes out in the final half minute.
Burping the baby, Greeny. You can't burp the baby with the junior whopper hands.
That is all she wrote. 22-21. Eagles and Wentz, a win that they needed.
I was pretty surprised we pulled it off. When I threw it, I thought it was a little high, but he, like I said, he plays bigger than he is. And obviously there was a lot of emotions there. It was kind of a big exciting moment, but a big kind of sigh of relief because we know we left a lot of plays out there. But the way we battled and found a way at the end of the game was huge for us.
Well, went struggling against the pressure, completed just 3 of 14, but when not pressured, he was much better. Both his touchdowns came without pressure. His 317 yards without pressure, a season high, most in a win in his career. And so it was not a thing of beauty, but it was a win they desperately need, and they get it. Ryan Clark, what is the number one most important thing you want to say coming out of this game to kick off the NFL weekend?
Well, first, the most exciting thing about the game was Daniel Jones falling. I mean, it was the greatest fall a New Yorker was involved in since John McClane dropped Hans Gruber from the top of a building on Die Hard. But when you look at this at the NFC East, it's just a lot of bad football. It felt like I was watching a junior college game that had 2 5-star recruits be kicked out of their colleges and have to play in this JUCO game. And sometimes they'd make these amazing plays to will their teams to first downs and touchdowns. And then you'd see the boneheaded things that they do that got them kicked out of D1 in the first place. But what it comes down to is anybody can win the NFC East. And I think that's the reason that so many people are on the Philadelphia Eagles, because they believe that Carson Wentz is the greatest talent that's still left in the NFC East, and that Carson Wentz can make the plays that finds ways to win games that are very close because both teams are extremely bad. Now, it will be entertaining. It will be bad football, but someone will win six games, and because of a tie, maybe, Greeny, the Philadelphia Eagles can represent a very bad division in the playoffs this year.
Somebody has to. Ninkovich, I think maybe sometimes we feel like they're the one team that if they got healthy and got right, could get good. When you watch the Eagles play, they get the win last night. What are you seeing?
It doesn't matter who wins the division. It doesn't matter. Like, my takeaway from this game is whoever wins the division, they're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs. When you look at the Eagles, yeah, we would just watch the highlights. But look, there could be a clip just as long of the lowlights. That's my takeaway.
That's a very good takeaway. No question about it. Bart Scott, your thoughts again. You host the talk show here in New York, so you're sort of living in this on a day-to-day basis. Eagles, Giants last night.
I'll tell you what, this reminds me of Coming to America when he falls down the stairs and he says, "Rinse, dude, don't be pulling that falling down the stairs crap." Because Howie Roseman has really made more transactions than any general manager in previous years. And now this team is the rinse dude. They've been, you know, really spending like they on a credit card. They're $64 million over the cap next year. And this team is old and in a lack of talent. And I think that they're going to have, this is their best and last opportunity to be relevant before they have to rebuild.
And just very quickly, before I move on, you made me laugh at the end of the highlight. What did you call Daniel Jones?
Well, Daniel Jones we talk about guys who can't have ball security. Junior Wapper. Hands, because you know if he doesn't have two hands on the ball, it just comes out, and we call it burping the baby because he's sitting there patting the ball. And you have to understand that you have a horrible offensive line. Get the ball out of your hands, Junior Wapper. You don't have those big Ben Roethlisberger double clutch pump fake hold on to the rock.
Just to be clear, you say Junior Wapper because his hands aren't big enough to hold a whole Whopper.
Yeah, you can't hold a whole Whopper. Okay. Junior Whopper only. You got to get two Junior Whoppers. You can't get one Whopper.
I needed a laugh to start my morning. You provided that. Let's run the hurry up as we look ahead through a couple of the interesting matches. Diana Russini, you've got Titans Steelers, the game of the weekend this weekend. What's your matchup to watch?
The Steelers defense, they are built to stop the run, and quite frankly, the Titans have proved they can't win without the run here. Now, we've seen the Steelers. They've slowed down Kareem Hunt, Saquon Barkley, a lot of good running backs. They have the second best run defense in the league, but none of those guys are Derrick Henry. So I'm going to be watching to see what they're going to do to slow down the running back that is red hot right now.
No doubt. RC, Seahawks, Cardinals, what's the matchup to watch?
Listen, I'm looking at Kyler Murray against the Seahawks defense and also against Russell Wilson. Darius Butler tweeted a commercial when Michael Jordan was playing his young Chicago Bulls self when he was with the Wizards, and then North Carolina Michael Jordan walks up. That's what I feel like when Kyler Murray stands across from Russell Wilson. Kyler Murray is going to have to match him play for play, big stat for big stat, and I'm looking forward to watching.
Ninkovich, we got 49ers Patriots. What's the matchup to watch?
I'm saying the Patriots defense against George Kittle, the best tight end in the NFL right now. So every week is a different game plan for the Patriots. This week in particular, it's going to be stopping that dynamic tight end. That's the matchup to watch.
Absolutely, and it will be Jimmy G making his return to Foxborough in that game as well. And when he and the 49ers come to town, something could take place that hasn't happened for over a decade. The Patriots could lose back-to-back home games. After they fall to Denver last week, Cam and the Pats need a win to avoid their first home losing streak in 12 years. Meanwhile, here's Cam on his play of late.
Just haven't been good. And I haven't matched enough good plays together for my liking. And that's what it comes down to. I know what I'm capable of, and my standard is extremely high, and I haven't been meeting it, my personal standard. So that's how I feel. You know, for us as an offense, we know our excuse basket is running, real low.
All right, Rob Ninkovich, you, of course, played for the Patriots for years. Your notes this morning were really interesting on just how important you think this game is for New England.
Yeah, I personally think this is the biggest regular season game that I could think of ever right now for the Patriots in the last 10 years, even go back farther than that. It hasn't been since 2000 that they've been 2-4. So to be 2-3, I mean, that's a place they've never been. 2-4, I don't even know what it would be like to be in that building at 2-4. And I can tell you this, This is a big week for the Pats.
Yeah, but you do know what it's like to be in that building with that coach when things don't go well. So coming off a loss, coming off a bad stretch, which they are now, how do you expect Bill Belichick handled this week?
Back to the basics, back to the fundamentals of what football is all about, and that's taking care of the football. If you hold the football running back, if you touch the football quarterback, protecting the football. That's the basics of football. So for me, Bill stands at the front of the team on a podium, and when he is getting serious and he starts to hammer a point home, he takes his fist and it's like a judge in his gavel. He's going to hit that thing over and over again, and I can guarantee this week he was pounding on that desk in front of him at the podium. He was pounding on the podium telling everybody, back to the basics of football. Do not turn the ball over against the 49ers. That's going to be key.
Ryan Clark, what do you think? As you hear him saying that, knowing what that franchise has been and what Belichick is, what thoughts go through your mind?
When he says the word basic, you know, in 2020, Greeny, the worst thing you want to be is basic. You don't want to be a basic chick. You don't want to have on a basic outfit. You don't want to be basic in any way. And that's what these weapons are for the New England Patriots. And, you know, I was starting to listen to Rob talk about what they do when they have to lock down, when they have to go back to the fundamentals of the game. What happens is, see, Bill Belichick has always been the goat herder. And when you're the goat herder, you need some goats. And he don't have the goat anymore. The goat's in Tampa Bay. And so now he's going to have to figure out this thing and get back to the basics he hasn't had to get to in the last two decades. This is different. This isn't the same old thing for Bill Belichick. He doesn't have the weapons on the outside. And he also doesn't have the one person that's galvanized this locker room for the last 20 years. And so even though they know what it used to be like when they lost a couple of games, what it used to be like when they truly had to buckle down and get focused, this team is totally different now. This team is not great on the outside. So I'm looking really forward to watching Bill Belichick have to pull off his greatest coaching job of all time. The greatest coaching job is not winning the 6 Super Bowls. It won't be getting to 9. It'll be getting this team to even be in contention in the AFC East come the end of the season.
I may want to push back on that, but let me get you on it, Bart. Do you agree with that?
Well, I totally agree with it. He took a lot of my points. You know, I believe that, you know, you talk about every time, you know, Bill was banging that gavel, he had the goat behind him. It's kind of like when you're getting bullied and the little kid comes and he's screaming at the crowd and everybody's afraid, but they don't realize that his big brother's behind him. You know, Tom Brady's the goat, and Tom Brady's always been able to be a force multiplier. So when Bill Belichick makes a bad decision like drafting a guy like N'Keal Harry, who hasn't worked out, who hasn't lived up to expectations, he was always able to get them to perform at a high level. So now, you know, we've been asking this question for decades, and we believe this is why Tom Brady left and decided to go somewhere else. Is it more about Bill Belichick and his ability to bring troops together and be a leader of men, or is it Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, being able to overcome any obstacle that he's put in because he's just that great?
I understand that, and this is not meant to be a referendum, what I'm about to say, on Brady. But let me push back a little bit here. The Patriots were 2-1. We were talking about how creative their offense looked, how creatively they were using Cam. Then Cam winds up testing positive for the coronavirus. They have to play Kansas City without him. They hold the Chiefs down. Their defense plays great. Then they wind up playing Denver in a game in which Cam hadn't practiced, twice in 16 days. So things change awful fast here, RC. Could we be I guess what I'm saying is I feel like the narrative has changed on them awfully quickly, and I'm not sure that they can't reverse this to where they were 2 weeks ago with one good performance Sunday.
You know what? I think they can reverse it, and it was the creativity of the offense, but there was also a lackluster performance right before Cam goes on the COVID list, where Burkhead and where the running backs had to be the focal point of the offense because they couldn't get the passing game going. And now you look to last week, the two most explosive plays by their team were made by their 30-plus-year-old quarterback, and one of them was in a pass game receiving the football. The other was him rushing the football. And so I think this offense is regressing a bit. I also felt like against the Seattle Seahawks, we watched him play against a very bad pass defense, and maybe we got a little too excited. And so that's why I said this is going to be Bill Belichick's greatest coaching experience or greatest coaching achievement. If he can get this team to be consistent on offense and not so dependent on a guy that, quite frankly, all 32 teams passed on, including the New England Patriots. And the reason I said he was a fit was because I knew he had to do some extra things in order to make this team go. We watched him be Superman against the Seattle Seahawks. But every time he's been Clark Kent, this team has looked extremely bad. And so he has to find a way to be great, but Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels has to find a way to make this offense good again.
Real quick.
Well, here's the point. You know, because of the lack of offseason OTAs and the lack of, you know, being able to be together, you know, Cam doesn't have the experience. They only can go one or two chapters deep into the book.
Right.
You know, with Tom Brady, you can go 15 chapters deep. You can always go to the sideline and be able to audible, you know, Omaha, so to speak, so that they can get a different game plan going. They can't do that with Cam. They're just surface deep with Cam Newton.
I get it. Let me circle back to my Patriot here to finish the conversation. They're going to win this Sunday or not? Rob Ninkovich.
Well, look, at the end of the day, there's a Jet and a Steeler waiting on the car crash. But I believe that they got airbags and they got a good body shop. So they're going to repair that thing. They'll be back. They'll be fine. This week is going to be a big week, and they're going to have be prepared. And just watch. After this game, we'll know a lot. But I think that they're going to get back on track. They'll be 3-3 after this game.
All right. That is exactly what I wanted to hear. Meanwhile, get Diana back over here because we have what I think is a really important developing story. The Las Vegas Raiders could be facing a situation where they take on Tampa Bay without their entire starting offensive line. Trent Brown was placed on the COVID reserve list earlier this week. Four of his offensive line teammates joined him on that list yesterday. Now, as I think most people are aware, as Diana is back with me here, and I know you've been making phone calls last night and all morning here. As most people are aware, they flex that game. They move that game out of the primetime spot because there is some concern it may not be played. What is the very latest?
Yeah, so I checked in with sources with the league and with the Raiders. This game is scheduled to be played at 4:05 Eastern on Sunday. But the situation that they're dealing with right now is they have their entire starting offensive line quarantining at this point right now because Trent Brown, after being reviewed by the league, it was discovered that he wasn't wearing his tracing device, right? So they're able to monitor who he's been around, and that's really been helpful during the last few months as every team is dealing with these different COVID protocols. There were also other offensive linemen that weren't wearing their masks at all times. So this is why they're being very cautious here, making these guys quarantine. So now here's what happens. They're going to all be alone over the next few days. Sunday morning, they're going to take those POC tests. That's the rapid feedback COVID-19 test. If they pass, if those come back negative, they'll be able to play. If they don't, what will happen is there's an advisory board that the league came up with. Their former NFL head coaches, players, there's about 7 or 8 of them on this board. And what they'll do is they'll have a conversation about what's next. What should they do? Should the Raiders be allowed to play? Should they move the game? And it will really come up to their decision. But I'm told as of now, the plan would be this game is on, even if those offensive linemen are not going to be able to go. So this is going to be a challenge for the Raiders.
This is one of the most interesting things that has happened, in my opinion, so far in this 2020 year that we're living with in football. Bart Scott, I'll just ask it to you directly. Yeah. I heard your voice when she said that. I heard you behind me sort of groan. Can a team play a game? Can they reasonably be expected to play a game without their entire starting offensive line?
Not at all. I mean, you only have so many swing guys that can play other positions. And you talk about what if somebody gets hurt. We've witnessed games where guys get injured in games. We had tight ends playing left tackle. I think that'll be a disservice to a team that has aspirations, that just beat the Kansas City Chiefs last year, that beat the champs. I think they should move the game. That's why they decided to keep the season on schedule, so that when things like this pop up and they expected it, that they can continue to move them and reschedule that later date.
One of the things that I'll point out again is that if it is found that they didn't follow the protocols well, in theory, you might say to yourself, well, then just make them forfeit. But that has all sorts of negative consequences, including for the team that they would be playing.
Yeah. Well, the league is going to want this game to be played, right? I think they've proved over the last few months that they're making this work. And it has worked. That's been the great thing about this is right. They've been able to shuffle this around. But really, it's going to come down to Sunday morning and those POC tests. And guys, we've seen the POC tests in the past not always be the most efficient either. So right. You have some concern here. If they do come back clean with these COVID tests, are they really clean? And that has to be concerning.
Ryan Clark, I'm just curious what thoughts are going through your mind here as one way or another, the decision will be made on this Sunday morning.
Well, I don't think it should be made Sunday morning. I think if it has to be made Sunday morning, then the game should be pushed back as they push back a few games already this season. Make them play on Tuesday. Make them play on Wednesday. I don't really care. It seems that we are willing as an NFL to shuffle this thing around. I actually know someone that's on that committee, so it'll be interesting to see what decision they make if those tests come back clean on Sunday. And when we start talking about the offensive line, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys are playing pretty much without you know, many of their starters, other than Lane Johnson, who's in and out of the offensive lineup, and Jason Kelce, so are the Philadelphia Eagles. And so when you look at that from that standpoint, you think, okay, maybe we have to make him get through one game. My problem is more so with them trying to force a game on Sunday by doing things Sunday morning, by saying, you know what, the games are more important than making sure that these young men and these players are healthy. These players follow the protocol. That's a bad look to me for the NFL, no matter if Derek Carr is protected or not. People should be protected from COVID more so than they are from injury as the quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders.
It's a really important story. Again, Diana's working it all morning long, and we will keep you posted on what we hear coming out of there. One way or another, they have moved the game, which shows you that there is at least some concern. All right, we'll take a short break here. Much more to do in this hour of Get Up. Odell Beckham fired up, comparing his sideline antics to those of Tom Brady. And that has us fired up as well. We're talking about it this morning. And Zeke can't hold on to the football. Rob Ninkovich has the simple solution. Don't miss it as we get up with you on a Football Friday, ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and how much do you love Mike Vrabel, coach of the Titans? Look at him here. He's playing the role of tight end Eric Ebron in practice for his team, the Titans. Ninkovich, your thoughts?
Look, when you play 14 years in the NFL, you want to show your team how a specific player plays. Why not, if you still got a little bit of juice left in the tank, go out there and show them exactly what you want by your scout team tight end. So go out there, put the jersey on, show them what routes you want run, show them how he's going to block. I love it. I love the energy. There's not a lot of coaches that can do that. And I got a little something right here that I think could help with the Cowboys and Zeke right here.
Yes, coming up. Rob Ninkovich is going to explain why he got... Hold him up again, my man. Hold those scissors up. He's going to solve all the Cowboys' problems using just that. Next, you're watching Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us, here's how Carson Wentz brought the Eagles back from 11 points down in the fourth quarter to beat the Giants last night. First part, Scott, this heave to John Hightower.
I mean, you talk about Atlanta right in the basket. One thing that Carson Wentz has excelled in since he's been here is the deep ball.
And that would set up this 3 plays later on a first and goal from the three. It's going to be Wentz. It's going to be Greg Ward. And it is going to be a touchdown to get him within 21-16. They would go for the two. They wouldn't get it. They would then get the football back down those 5 points with under 2 minutes to go, and it's Wentz, and this one's for Richard Rodgers.
We call this keep your eyes on your luggage. You talk about Carson Wentz recognizing the blitz coming, making some off-schedule plays with his feet.
And then this spectacular throw. This is the one that ultimately wins them the game. This is a dime to Boston Scott.
We always just said, see him throw it, watch him catch it. You know, Jabril Peppers, great cover guy, got caught looking back at the quarterback, fell for the banana in the tailpipe, the double move.
Two touchdowns in the final 5 minutes, 12 unanswered points to hold on and win it. The Eagles come away with a 22-21 win and now take sole possession of first place in the terrible NFC East. And according to our analytics, they have close to a 60% chance to walk away division champions. So now let's sit back and take a look at the division in its entirety. And the biggest issue the Dallas Cowboys have had has been turnovers. They keep turning the football over. But Rob Ninkovich said that he knows what Bill Belichick would do to solve that problem immediately. Rob, the floor is yours.
So Bill Belichick, after one fumble, would have walked over to the training staff, grabbed a pair of scissors, and walked over to Zeke and cut off his sleeves. Because if you hold the football in your arm, yeah. If you hold the ball like this and you have a sleeve on, you know how easy it is to knock that out? You have no grip right here. If you're a running back or a receiver, you don't wear sleeves. That's like just, you know that. Rule number one, don't wear sleeves, because ball security is your number one rule. As a running back, secure the football. The fate of the team is in your hands. Bill Belichick would have, before he went even out on that field, would have said, take off those sleeves. What are you doing? After the first fumble, he would have walked over and cut him off. After the second, I was yelling at the television, take his sleeves off. Take his sleeves off. If I was a defender going against a running back, if it was cold outside and they had sleeves on, take the ball off him. Punch it out. Strip it out. He can't hold on to the ball with sleeves.
What do you think, RC?
No, that's exactly right. That's the first thing I said when I was asked this question on my first call for the Monday show was, why is he wearing sleeves? On so many different teams, the running backs aren't allowed to wear sleeves. The running backs or anyone that carries the ball can't wear sleeves, because Rob's exactly right. You can punch the ball out. The ball slips. It's easier to pull and tug on it and force fumbles. What I was really expecting Rob to say was, after the first fumble, he was going to cut the sleeves off. Then after the second one, he'd cut his arms off. Like, that's the type of Bill Belichick stories I was expecting. Because you know what? When Mike McCarthy put Pollard in, that was like cutting off Ezekiel Elliott's arms. That was saying to you, you know what? You can't do this anymore. But what this team is experiencing is the exact same thing that New Edition was experiencing when they fired Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown is gone. Your charismatic leader is gone. Can Johnny Gill step up and do the job? Can Bill DeVoe do what they need to do? And the backup singers weren't doing what they need to do on Monday. And the leader of that group is Ezekiel Elliott. So if he's fumbling and he's now taking accountability for it, you got to come out and play better this week. And that better be without sleeves underneath your shoulder pads.
Speaking of taking accountability, Bart Scott, I've not had you here this entire week. And it's been a lot of talk about the anonymous sources in the Cowboys locker room, and their defense has been so bad. I'm just curious to hear what your thoughts have been on that.
I mean, whenever we would have these situations in Baltimore, the anonymous sources, we would call that, I smell diesel fuel, because that means that somebody's backing the bus over somebody else. And in this case, mm-hmm. it was Mike McCarthy and it was Mike Nolan. And I think, listen, that's cowardice, right? First of all, if you have something to say, and I think it was a lot of coded language when you heard Mike McCarthy say, come talk to me and talk to me as a man. Because we're grown-ups now. This isn't high school. This isn't college. This is professional football. And men have conversations, tough conversations with each other. I don't care if it's my coach or not. If I had an issue with what was going on with Mike Nolan or what was going on with what we're running, listen, it was real easy to be a front runner when, you know, Dak Prescott was putting up 500 yards. But now that, you know, the offense, he could coach then, right? But listen, every time you have a new coach, and I'm sure when Tomlin came in, you know, Ryan had to deal with it as well. I had it with Harbaugh. You're always going to hit a tough spot, right? But, you know, adversity doesn't define character. It reveals it. And this, and the Cowboys reveal what type of character they have. They have a lot of front-running, cowardice football players. And they're not smart. Right. So you talk about Mike Nolan. I've been around Mike Nolan. And one thing I know about Mike Nolan is he's always prepared, overly prepared. He's the defense coordinator responsible for turning the Ravens into a 3-4 defense. So he has the answer to the test. But he doesn't have enough players with football acumen to be able to take what he's teaching and be able to apply it on the football field.
We may have to come back to that one because I have other things I need to get to. But that is I can see the look on RC's face. That is an interesting thought. Meanwhile, we have to go on the hurry up. Diana Russini again in our studio all morning long. And there's a lot of big news out there. Diana, what is the latest on the Saints' Michael Thomas?
Yeah, Greeny. Michael Thomas's status for Sunday's game right now is up in the air. I spoke with sources in New Orleans, and he's dealing with a tweaked hamstring. He missed practice yesterday. And, Mike, this is different than the injury we saw before the bye. He was dealing with a high ankle injury, so this is different. As of right now, he is day-to-day. We should know later today whether or not he practiced, but there's obviously some concern as the Saints get ready to face the Carolina Panthers.
That feels like a big one. How about Antonio Brown? What's the latest there?
Yeah, this is another big one, right? So Adam Schefter reported earlier this week that after week 8, Antonio Brown is available, and the Seattle Seahawks seem to be all in on getting him on the roster. Russell Wilson is really basically running his campaign yesterday, talking to the media, saying he feels that the wide receiver is remorseful for all his past behavior, and he also says that he believes in him as a teammate. He obviously wants the receiver to join the Seahawks, so we'll see if that plays out.
And then what is this with Dez Bryant and the Ravens?
Can you believe this? Dez Bryant potentially back in the league. So if he passes his physical, he is expected to join the Ravens practice squad. And Greeny, you may remember back in August, he did a workout for Baltimore. I had heard that it didn't even go that well and they were moving on from him, but now they're giving him a second chance. And if he passes his physical, he should expect to join that practice squad in Baltimore.
All right, we will see if that winds up happening. Diana Russini with us all morning long. Meanwhile, if you're looking for football Saturday night, the Big Ten college football returns on ABC. Jim Harbaugh leading 18th-ranked Michigan against number 21 Minnesota for the Little Brown Jug. That's tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern on ABC and on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, as if all that wasn't enough, Game 3 of the World Series in tonight
is being hyped as the best pitching matchup of the Fall Classic. The Dodgers sending Walker Buehler to the mound to face Charlie Morton. They have a combined 1.30 ERA this postseason. Of course, Game 3 is always important. Historically, 68% of the teams have gone on to win the World Series when they win in this spot. More so, 17 of the last 22 teams to win Game 3 in a tied World Series have gone on to win it all. And here's my man, Eduardo Perez, getting set for tonight's huge Game 3. Good morning, Eduardo. Who do you favor tonight in this matchup, Walker Buehler or Charlie Morton?
Good morning to you, and I'll tell you this. I actually favor both of them. I think this is going to come down to a bullpen situation because both of these guys are lights out. You look at what Walker Buehler's been able to do in his young career. It is fantastic in the postseason, except for that one hiccup inning that he had against the Atlanta Braves. This guy's had an ERA of like 1.5 throughout the 37 innings that he's been able to pitch. And then Charlie Morton, 7-0 in postseason play, just dominant throughout, uses the fastball, the two-seamer, the cutter, and the curveball as his changeup pitch also with great break. These two guys have looked unhittable. So if they go 5 to 6 innings apiece, it's going to come down to the strength of what the Tampa Bay Rays have and the LA Dodgers, a well-rested bullpen, has down the stretch. It looks like it's going to be a pitcher's duel, and I cannot wait to sit back, eat some popcorn, and enjoy this one tonight.
Yeah, I think we all feel that way. But let's talk for a moment here about the best player in this series. Mookie Betts earlier in this week was creating arguments as to whether he's a better player than Mike Trout. But you're going to tell me right now that he's not, in your mind, the most important player on his own team?
Yeah, I don't think he's the most important player on his own team. I think you look at what Seager's been able to do from the two spot. He's been fantastic. He's been able to hit the ball well to all sides of the field. He's been able to use his offense in so many ways that it creates havoc. Once Mookie Betts gets on the bases, what do you do with Corey Seager? You open the right side of the infield up. Not only do you do that, he's played stellar defense also on the other side of the ball. So having him in the two spot actually represents unbelievable protection to Mookie Betts and also to Turner and moving on Muncy. And then you get to the big guy that I know you're going to mention next that I haven't even mentioned. I won't touch until you touch him.
And his name is Cody Bellinger?
That's right. That's right. That's his name, Cody Bellinger. That was a layup right there, brother. Trying to set you up with it. A good assist. Cody Bellinger, reigning MVP of the season. You look again at what Cody Bellinger means to this team. On the offensive side, he is like their extra number three hitter, hitting in the sixth spot, just adding protection, adding length to that lineup behind a young Smith. There's no time to take a deep breath if you're the opposing pitcher against the LA Dodgers, and that's what they do. They apply pressure and pressure and keep you off your game, and it really hampers not only the pitching prowess of the Tampa Bay Rays, but it adds up to the Dodgers' offense.
Dodgers, Rays, Game 3 tonight. You'll hear it on ESPN Radio. Eduardo Perez, have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. We'll see you next week. Meanwhile, we have much more to do as we continue on this Football Friday on Get Up. Coming up, Odell Beckham fired up, comparing his own sideline antics to Tom Brady's. We've got a lot to say about that. And you'll hear it next, Get Up, on ESPN. Back on Get Up, and let's play a little game of more or less. Bart, more or less than 10 touches for Le'Veon Bell in his Kansas City debut.
Oh, this is definitely more. He's in shape, he's healthy, and he's motivated. You know, I love when veteran players go to championship teams because everybody there has a ring. He's hungry because he wants to get one.
RC, next is for you. More or less, 115 rushing yards for Derrick Henry against the Steelers.
This is absolutely going to be less. I'm guaranteeing 100% it will be less. The two times they've had to step up, Saquon Barkley, Kareem Hunt, they have gone after the running game with aggression and violence. And if Alvin Mack is going to be Vince Williams, then Steve Latimer is going to be Robert Spillane replacing Devin Bush. I can't wait to watch these car crashes.
That's a really interesting one. We'll come back to that. Meanwhile, Rob Ninkovich, 1.5 interceptions for Baker Mayfield against the Bengals, more or less.
Oh, I'm going less. So I drew a little picture here of what I think is Baker Mayfield. He's right here. He's got the smiley or the frown face. He had a poor game. Now he's going to have a smiley face, poor game. So it's like a circle of happy and sad. I'm going Baker Mayfield is going to have a better game than last week. So I'm going less.
Okay, well, that's setting the bar fairly low, but it certainly is interesting. Meanwhile, speaking of the Browns, who remain one of the most talked about teams in the NFL, Odell Beckham Jr. recently addressing the criticism that he receives for his behavior compared to others. Here's what he said.
Kind of over, you know, trying to play the right thing because, you know, I love him to death, but there's people who have plenty of rings and consider the GOAT, and they do things on the sideline, and other people do things on the sideline, and they get away with it, and it's classified as passion because they may have something behind their legacy or whatever it is. And to me, bro, we love this that much. It means that much. There's no way around it. I don't care if I have 0 rings, 12 rings, 20 rings. I love this game of football, and I'm not going to keep building myself to for the world to feel like I'm mature or whatever word you would like to throw around it. I'm always going to be me.
That was interesting. And a lot of people seem to interpret that as taking a shot at Tom Brady.
Yes.
I don't think that's reasonable. I think he's taking a shot at people and the way they perceive Tom Brady and the way they perceive him. Rob Ninkovich, you played with Brady all those years. Is that a fair assessment that Odell just made?
Look, there definitely has to be a difference. Just like the starting Pro Bowler sleeping in the back of the meeting room, are they going to cut that guy? No, there's a difference. Jimmy Johnson came to speak to our team one year, and he said they cut a player that was just a free agent because he was sleeping in the meeting. They asked him, what would you do with Troy Aikman? He said, oh, I'd just go back there. Hey, Troy, wake up. There's a difference. Tom Brady is screaming at his offensive line to be better in the Bears game. And guess what? The next game, they were better. OBJ is not a Hall of Famer just yet. He had injuries that has set his career back. Tom Brady's a Hall of Famer. There is a difference. You can see it. And definitely in the way he motivates his teammates, difference. I'm going with Tom Brady can do that because he's earned the right to do that with those 6 Super Bowl rings.
Ryan Clark, agree or why are your eyes closed, RC?
Well, he's RC.
Because y'all know what Rob going to say. I don't even know why y'all started with Rob. Y'all started with Rob so Rob could come out here and say, oh, Brady's better than everybody. He gets to do whatever the hell he wants. Well, he just got 6. He been cussing people out. So let's not say it's because he got 6. Now, he won extremely early, and that's fine. But we're not talking about the emotional deposits he's made in the bank accounts of the New England Patriots organization. We're talking about the media. We're talking about perception. We're talking about things that feel familiar. And Tom Brady has always had kind of this opportunity and this cachet because it looks right, because he's screaming and all, it's passion. I love it when Tom Brady's all passionate. But you could look at Cam's sideline antics, the way that people hate on him and critique him. It's different. And now you go to Odell Beckham Jr. and you're saying that Odell's not a Hall of Famer yet. Well, technically, neither is Tom Brady. But Odell Beckham Jr. from the beginning had more Hall of Fame talent than Tom Brady. Odell Beckham Jr. was on a Hall of Fame track with a quarterback who was descending, who was at the end of his rope, who he was making look good with slants. The other part is this. Odell Beckham Jr. implodes, right? Many of the times that he was having his issues on the sideline, it was between him and a field goal kicking net. That's who had the issues. He wasn't cussing his teammates out. He was, and anytime he said anything to him, he was imploring them to be better along with himself. So I don't have a problem with Brady doing what he does. But I do have a problem with people comparing it to Odell Beckham Jr. and saying it's different for some reason. It's not different. People are different. We perceive things differently from the outside. And because Tom Brady, who looks like all the quarterbacks we've ever seen and who screams and cusses like most of the people who write look, they look like him as well. When you see this young African-American kid with a blonde mohawk, it looks different. It feels different. You critique it different. You talk about it differently. This ain't got nothing to do with how much they want.
That's fair. I will say this. The only person I heard comparing those two things this week was Odell. I didn't hear almost any criticism of Odell Beckham.
I compared him years ago.
Yeah,
years ago. Scar tissue.
I get that it started years ago. But my point is, he made a big deal of this week. Coming out of that game where Cleveland got waxed, the story was Baker Mayfield. I didn't hear anyone talking about Odell.
I was at the game, and I saw him do it, and I saw him take his shoes off. And I've covered Odell long enough to know that he is emotional, and he can be erratic. I don't think this is a conversation about whether or not Odell Beckham Jr. is a bad teammate. This is Odell Beckham Jr. just being a bad version of Odell Beckham Jr. Ryan, I hear what you're saying about Tom Brady's done this all the time. He's earned that equity. Tom Brady is the quarterback. He's the leader of that team. Odell Beckham Jr. has shown zero leadership. Yeah, he rallies the guys, and he's one of the most incredible athletes to walk on this planet. But what has he really done to earn that kind of behavior that continues to be a problem? You have Kevin Stefanski, by the way, now, who has to handle this. And Ryan, you know this because we've talked about this on the show. The idea of trading Odell Beckham Jr. is always on the table in Cleveland because of this stuff. They don't know how to handle him. Stefanski's had a deal with Stephon Diggs back in Minnesota. That's the closest he's had in terms of dealing with a very emotional wide receiver. But this, if you're not performing on the field, there's not a lot of openness to dealing with this because he's not doing enough.
I fear we've lost, RC. Let me get Bart Scott into the conversation. Go ahead, Bart.
I mean, the whole thing, life's not fair. I mean, newsflash, Odell, you have to come to grips with it. I understand. You know, I remember coming here and you know, had the whole Mr. Can't Wait, and Tim Tebow came here, right? Tim Tebow comes, and guess who had to be his date to the Met Gala to be able to get in? Right. So, you know, Tim Tebow can go over. He can go play baseball. I had a dream one time, Ryan. I had a dream of being a professional bowler. I thought I was going to be Pete Weber III. I thought I was going to be the next great thing. But I don't get those same type of opportunities. Listen, Odell Beckham is always going to have that narrative because until he becomes a winner, that's what's going to happen. Is it right? No. But we understand in this country, Ryan, we understand that sometimes the narrative isn't written by us and written by other people. And it's always going to be that way.
I have exactly 1 minute left. RC, go.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with the position you play necessarily. I believe that's only outside of the building. Because I worked in the building and I played for a team that won Super Bowls, that went to two Super Bowls, that our quarterback couldn't act that way. Our quarterback couldn't walk down to the defense and talk to us like Tom Brady talked to us, right? Or like Tom Brady talks to those guys. Now, our linebacker, James Ferrier, he could say whatever he wanted to me. Our wide receiver, Hines Ward, could say whatever he wanted to me. Because he worked that way, because he cared that way, because when we watched him at practice, he was outworking everybody there. And that's what Odell Beckham Jr. does. And for the most part, I've never heard a teammate have an issue with him. You tell me the teammate that has an issue with him, and we could talk about it. But they don't have him. They love him everywhere he goes. So I don't get it. I just don't get it.
This is one of those days where we need like 4 hours. Yeah. It's a phenomenal I have to leave it there for the moment because we're up against the end of the hour. We will have more on this as we go. Coming up here on Get Up as well. We'll get back to the game last night. The Eagles' epic comeback as the Giants literally drop the ball and literally fall flat on their face. We'll talk about that and more. It's a Football Friday. Get Up on ESPN.